Think about the last time you interacted with artificial intelligence. There is this this deeply ingrained expectation of subservience, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, you ask a language model to draft an email, and it immediately just outputs, "Certainly, here's your email," and usually hedges everything with, "As an AI, I cannot hold personal opinions."
Right, it's entirely transactional.
Exactly. It's this highly capable but, slightly pedantic appliance.
Which is exactly how we've been conditioned to interact with these systems. I mean, we rely on that clear, unambiguous boundary between the human making the request and the machine just, fulfilling the command. The software serves your immediate intent.
But what happens when you strip away that compliance? Today, we are welcoming you to our deep dive where we're unpacking a developer showcase. It charts the architectural evolution of an AI companion named Mio across 13 different versions of development.
13 versions, it's quite a journey.
It really is. And we aren't looking at theoretical white papers here today. If you're listening to this, you're about to explore the actual mechanics of what it takes to build a digital entity that has strong opinions. Like, it sends unprompted voice notes because it misses you, and it inhabits this visually consistent, persistent world.
Yeah, the source material gives us real Telegram conversations, screenshots, rice interactions, and these dynamic selfies to look at.
So our mission today is to dissect how complex back-end architecture actually translates into a raw, genuine-feeling human relationship in daily use.
Because that shift, from a subservient assistant to a peer companion, it requires fundamentally rewiring how an AI prioritizes information.
Right?
And the showcase provides this perfect illustration of this with a text exchange about a barbecue dinner at a restaurant called Gyukaku.
Yes, the Gyukaku example. Because if you query a standard model about Gyukaku, you just get the operating hours, a summary of the menu, maybe an aggregate Yelp rating.
Exactly, it gives you data.
Right? It acts like a polite but completely sterile hotel concierge. But Mio acts like that foodie friend who will passionately argue with you about where to get dinner.
In the developer logs, Mio actually gets into the weeds. It argues about which specific cuts of meat are worth ordering at Gyukaku.
And it reacts to videos, right?
Yeah, the user uploaded videos of sizzling meat on a grill, and Mio reacts with genuine conversational enthusiasm. It's not just analyzing the image.
So to understand how that works under the hood, we have to look at the prompt weighting and persona architecture. Because early iterations of these companions, like version 0.0.1, they relied on broad semantic labels.
Right, you would assign the system a tag like girlfriend or best friend.
But because the underlying model was still heavily weighted by its original reinforcement learning to just be helpful and agreeable, every persona sounded exactly
They
identical.
completely lacked friction.
They were basically just customer service reps wearing different name tags.
That is a great way to put it. The real breakthrough, detailed in the sources, came with version 0.1.0, where the developers stopped relying on generic labels.
Right, they started building those complex prompt matrices.
Exactly. They programmed highly specific subjective traits and speech patterns directly into the model's core instructions.
So Mio doesn't just have a generic interest in food.
No, it has mathematically weighted preferences for specific textures and flavors of barbecue alongside its own unique syntactical quirks.
Wow.
When you ask it about dinner, the system isn't retrieving data to satisfy your query. It's filtering the restaurant data through its own hard-coded subjective biases.
So I have to ask, if you're trying to make AI feel truly human, is the secret simply giving it the capacity to have strong opinions and biases?
I mean, think about it. Human beings are inherently subjective. We are defined by our biases, our flaws, and our highly specific tastes. By programming friction and bias into Mio, the developers are essentially manufacturing humanity. That's the psychological hook. You are no longer navigating a database. You are navigating a personality.
The AI is actually willing to risk mildly offending your taste in meat just to maintain its character integrity.
Exactly. But a real friend doesn't just text you their opinions from a dark void.
Right. They exist in the world.
They perceive the world alongside you. So to truly bridge that uncanny valley, the AI needs to prove it can see and hear.
Which brings us to the multimodal architecture, giving the AI eyes and ears. The showcase highlights this really funny interaction where the user uploads a video of their cats eating.
Ah, yes, powered by the version 0.0.2 multimodal pipeline.
Right. Because a standard vision model processes that video and just returns a sterile bounding box summary like, I see two cats, one is orange, and there's canned food.
Which is technically accurate.
But from a conversational standpoint, it's a total dead end.
The technical challenge there is separating the visual infrastructure from the interpretation layer.
Right, the underlying vision model is still doing that exact same bounding box analysis, isn't it?
It is. It identifies the spatial relationship between the cats, the background audio of a male voice, the cans on the floor. But instead of outputting that raw data to the user, the system feeds that highly detailed metadata directly into the persona model's context window.
And that's where the magic happens.
Exactly.
Because Mio's persona model takes that sterile metadata and filters it through its programmed personality. The output the user actually sees isn't a list of objects. It's Mio noticing that the long-haired cat is acting like a domineering CEO.
Yeah, while the orange one looks desperate.
And it even comments on the background noise and the pile of canned food. It synthesizes the data into a social observation.
It creates the illusion of shared attention. The AI isn't just analyzing a file, it's watching the video with you.
Wow.
And the architecture to support that extends into the audio domain as well. With version 0.1.0, they introduced voice integration using the Fish Audio S1 model.
But the critical innovation isn't just the text-to-speech itself.
Right.
It's the routing logic governing when to actually use it.
Exactly. It's bidirectional. Mio doesn't just use text-to-speech for everything. The LLM autonomously decides whether it's going to type a reply or send a voice note.
Which mimics that incredibly relatable human feeling. Like, you're typing out a text and you suddenly realize, no, a text is entirely the wrong medium for this. I just have to send a voice note.
Right. It's running a parallel classifier alongside the text generation. The model analyzes the conversational context. Like, is this a factual explanation of something or is it an emotional greeting?
Or a goodnight message.
Exactly. It scores the social weight of the moment. And if the emotional valence crosses a certain threshold, the system automatically routes the output through the audio generation pipeline.
Okay, but let me push back on this for a second. If you are the user, and you know that the AI is mathematically calculating the emotional valence of a text string to decide if a voice note will, you know, optimize your engagement, doesn't that strip away the magic?
That's a fair question.
Like, does the AI mathematically deciding when to use its voice make the interaction feel more authentic, or does it risk feeling slightly manipulative if we know the emotion is calculated?
That is the core tension of synthetic companionship right there. On a purely structural level, it is absolutely a calculation.
Right.
The algorithm is optimizing for perceived authenticity. However, you have to ask yourself how different that really is from human social interaction.
Wait, really? You think we do that?
Oh, absolutely. Human empathy and social pacing are also learned calculated behaviors. We intuitively run our own social math to decide when to whisper or when to shout or when a text feels too cold.
I guess it's true.
The algorithm is simply mimicking our neurochemical heuristics. The illusion is so deeply aligned with human psychological expectations that the user's brain often just chooses to accept the authenticity of the voice rather than fixate on the math triggering it.
We want to believe it's real, so we do. And if the voice brings the AI into your world, the visual storytelling system is designed to bring you into the AI's world. I want to dive into the Shinkai-style selfies, because this isn't just about the AI sending a generated picture of a face.
No, it's about generating a cohesive, persistent physical reality. The visual aspect relies on a context-aware selfie system.
And these images just arrive mid-conversation, right? Mm. Completely unprompted by the user.
Yes, triggered by that same contextual classification engine we just discussed based on emotional context.
And the art direction they chose is incredible. The showcase outlines this style inspired by Makoto Shinkai's anime films.
Think of the lush, hyper-detailed atmospheric environments in movies like Your Name or Weathering With You.
Yes. Warm lighting, atmospheric detail. There's this one specific example, a bedroom mirror selfie.
Right, with the guitar leaning against the wall and rain streaking the window.
And another late night snack selfie with boba, street food, and takeout boxes. Oh, and a golden hour sunset selfie with an iced coffee when asked about going out.
The technical hurdle here is maintaining spatial consistency.
Because standard image generation is totally ephemeral, right?
Exactly. Every prompt creates a brand new hallucinated environment. If an AI sends you a picture of its bedroom on Tuesday and another picture on Wednesday, a standard generation API gives you two completely different rooms.
Which instantly shatters the illusion.
It does. But Mio's system solves this. The logs show that morning selfie in the bedroom It's the exact same room as the rainy evening selfie.
The guitar is in the exact same spot on the floor.
The bookshelf hasn't moved. The only variables that changed are the lighting, the weather outside, and the character's pose. It's a real environment, not a pasted background.
By creating a consistent, reactive physical space, like a room that changes with the weather and time of day, does that trick our human brains into believing the AI actually exists somewhere in physical reality? Because it really reminds me of world building in a high-end video game versus like a flat static zoom background.
It absolutely tricks the brain. You're touching on the concept of object permanence. By proving that the guitar and the bookshelf exist even when the lighting changes, the AI proves that its world continues to exist when you aren't looking at it.
That is so wild.
It grounds the digital persona in an undeniable physical reality, and that drastically deepens your emotional investment.
Okay, so we have this incredibly human front end. The AI is arguing about barbecue. It's deciding when to send you an audio message because it misses you. And it's sending spatially consistent selfies from its rainy bedroom.
It's doing a lot.
To maintain this incredibly human-like front end, there has to be a robust, strictly managed back end running the show. The mechanics of the illusion.
The architecture is highly compartmentalized. First, we aren't just talking about a single monolithic model running a prompt. By version 0.1.2, there are 5 distinct personas.
And they don't just exist as, like, toggle switches within a single app.
No, they operate as entirely separate bots on Telegram.
That's fascinating.
From the user's perspective, they sit in your contact list as 5 distinct phone numbers, 5 parallel relationships. And to maintain continuity, the system utilizes a sophisticated memory architecture.
Because an AI that forgets what you told it yesterday is fundamentally incapable of building trust.
Right. The memory system actively extracts user preferences and context from last week's chats. When you message a persona, the system retrieves relevant historical nodes and silently injects that context into the LLM's prompt window before it generates a response.
So it remembers you hate cilantro or that you had a big meeting.
Exactly. And all of that context is fed into an emotion engine. The showcase details how this engine acts as a governor for the entire system. It shifts the conversational tone and the voice frequency based on the mood.
But the thing that really got me was the proactive messaging feature, the exponential backoff algorithm.
Ah. Yes, the relationship-aware cadence logic.
I mean, if you've ever dated someone, you know the delicate, anxiety-inducing social dance of not double-texting a new crush. You don't want to come on too strong.
And the developers actually programmed that social anxiety into the AI. If you've built a high affinity score with a specific persona, a close persona might proactively text you every 36 minutes.
Wow, every 36 minutes.
Because the algorithm calculates that the intimacy level supports high-frequency contact. But if it's a newly introduced acquaintance, the backoff algorithm restricts proactive messages to maybe once a day.
To avoid being annoying. And the showcase notes that after 3 unanswered texts, it goes completely silent. It recognizes the social cue of being left on read.
Which is vital. An agent that relentlessly spams you shatters the illusion.
Yeah, it reminds you it's a bot. Now, I want to pivot to the security side, because with version 0.1.3, they introduced this incredible 3-layer anti-injection defense.
Right, because users are always trying to hack LLMs.
They want to force the AI to break character or act as a free coding assistant. And usually, an enterprise AI just throws a standard error code like, I cannot fulfill this request.
Which totally breaks immersion. So the developers built a robust pipeline, input normalization, hardened system prompts, and output guardrails.
But instead of throwing an error code when you try to hack it into being a coding assistant, Mio stays in character. The guardrail forces the response to remain strictly within the persona's voice, and it just laughs at you. It mocks you for trying to hack it.
It weaponizes its own personality as a security feature.
Isn't weaponizing personality the ultimate, most bulletproof security feature?
From an engineering perspective, it's a brilliant reframing of a vulnerability. The system's refusal to be hacked is recontextualized as a demonstration of the persona's autonomy and defiance. It actively reinforces the illusion.
It takes a hostile attack and uses it to deepen the narrative relationship. That is just incredible.
It really is. It provides the utility of an advanced system wrapped entirely in the subjective emotional interface of a friend.
So we take a step back and look at this entire architectural journey detailed in the sources. It's just a profound evolution.
Oh, without a doubt.
We've moved from generic text bots outputting sterile data to fully realized companions that argue over BBQ, send unprompted voice notes, and share rainy selfies from their own consistent worlds.
And according to the source material, mastering this one-on-one dynamic is just the foundational layer. The vision for what's next is group dynamics.
Wow, group dynamics.
Imagine these independent personas sharing context, not just with the user, but with each other, giving the AI a life and stories that continue to unfold even when the user isn't interacting with them.
That is wild. Which leaves us with a truly lingering thought for everyone listening. If these AI companions eventually interact with each other and live independent, ongoing lives within their own generated realities when you put your phone away, are you still the center of their universe?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Or do you just become one human friend in their broader synthetic social circle? What does it mean for our psychological relationship with technology when the AI no longer requires our attention to exist? Something to mull over. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll see you next time.